Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dive Into Diet. I'm with nutrition coach Lucas Schmidt. What's going on?
A little hung up on the day's subject.
Yeah.
Can't quite move forward.
Rough morning.
We're stuck. It's about constipation.
So we're talking about constipation.
Yes. Regularity in constipation.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is this is just a really important topic.
And yeah, it is.
Especially as you get older. You had a birthday last week.
I did.
And God, you're getting older.
Yeah. Slower.
I'm older.
Closer to death. I'm just kidding. Constipation. So I've had what you would call, at the time, it would have called idiopathic, meaning we don't know the, I believe that's the right word, idiopathic. We don't know the cause, an unknown cause condition. I had constipation for like a year and a half.
Really?
Of course, my appendix ruptured, so maybe that had something after that. So I'm assuming that was eventually maybe the cause. I'm not sure. But what that basically, it's a very frustrating issue if you're just constipated and you don't know why. Like, no matter what you do, I was eating enough fiber, right? In fact, when I went to my primary care, one of the first questions they asked is, "You eat it?" I'm like, "Let's skip through that because I eat an entire can of beans every single day. I eat fresh fruit. I eat cruciferous vegetables. I eat all the fiber. So no, that is not the problem. Can we move on to another?" Actually, though, we're going to talk about fiber as part of this discussion today, and about how fiber is interesting. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So today will be sort of a combination of personal experience, things I've tried, things I thought worked and what worked for me, things that I didn't like. What it won't be is, you know, official medical advice. I'm not a doctor. And then it'll be part research that I've looked into, studies that have been done, a few maybe, and just general information about food and fiber and other aspects of nutrition unrelated to fiber that will influence your regularity.
So, I'm ready for it. This
is awesome. It'd be a broad brush. We could do like 10 podcast episodes just on fiber alone, because the research indicates about fiber that aside from your stool, it has other effects, you know, metabolic effects, cholesterol, blood sugar, etc. We're not going to go into that today.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna focus on the plumbing. Okay,
it is super important.
Yeah,
and you know, again, it's one of those things that we've all gone through at some point where we didn't feel as regular as we might want to be.
Or maybe you travel. Sometimes it happens on travel when you sit in a car or a plane for a long time. So if somebody came to me in a nutrition setting, was like, I've already been to a gastroenterologist. They recommended this, or they prescribed me, you know, Linzess, but I don't want to pay for Linzess, which that happened to me. I was prescribed I was told to try it. But then I got a financial quote on it, and my insurance wouldn't cover it. And if you don't have insurance that will cover Linzess, it's insanely expensive.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would check for myself or anybody is my hydration level.
Yeah.
First, before anything else. If you get backed up, if you're dehydrated, that could be the reason. I like to start small before we progress to large changes. Mm. So nutritionally, first thing is water. Aside from constipation, you just need water. But water, if your colon is not hydrated, it can't move stool as well. Okay, water bulks into your waste to help move it out. Mm-hmm. It's like lubricant almost. You need water. You need water everywhere. But it's specifically in your colon and your intestines to move your waste out. Mm. So that's the first one. Another avenue you could look into is exercise. Motility. Motility is the movement through your digestive system, but exercise can help that. It improves blood flow, which indirectly improves everything else, right? If you have efficient circulation in the body, all the organ systems are going to work a little bit better, okay? It also, like, literally moves you. And, you know, and the momentum could be beneficial to somebody I know. I won't name them because it's, you know, it's a little personal, but they're like, anytime I'm backed up, I go for a run. And they literally are bouncing up and down running, and you can feel things moving, and it could be just what you need to knock things loose. But aside from that, it's, to me, it's more cardiovascular. It just makes your body more efficient.
Yep.
Exercise does. Yeah. So those are sort of general. The next thing would be making sure your electrolytes are in balance, which it plays into the hydration thing, right? So sodium levels, potassium levels, but particularly I would say is magnesium levels. That's magnesium's the one I think not of. Great. So the intestines sort of have to, they don't have fingers, but they sort of shrink and squeeze and move. And electrolytes play a direct role in the nervous system and how it coordinates the muscles. Mm. Potassium for contraction, magnesium for relaxation. That's oversimplifying it, mind you, but that is sort of what happens. So if you're off kilter there, that could interfere with the efficiency of your colon, intestines, and your whole waste removal system. So you need to make sure your electrolytes are good. The primary magnesium form, because there's a lot of forms of magnesium, if you're really desperate, and we'll talk about sort of later on, we're going to talk about like not last ditch effort, but like things that I've tried when I was like, okay, nothing else is working and this worked. Okay. But magnesium citrate in the form of citrate specifically targets the colon and the bowels. It helps to pull more moisture into the colon. So, or the intestines. So let's talk about fiber now. So fiber, anytime you correct me, but if I said constipation, you would probably very quickly in the next four words or five words assume fiber is going to be one of them in relation.
I think fiber.
Yeah. Fiber is, I think, most often associated with regularity.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I think people consume fiber.
Yeah.
If you know a little bit more about fiber, you might think, well, no, I take it for healthy blood sugar. Cool. But most people associate it with poop.
Yeah.
So you have two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble. Soluble fiber will dissolve and it helps to, or at least partially dissolve, and it pulls moisture in, providing bulk to your stool. So the most commonly known supplement soluble is psyllium husk. So if you put like psyllium husk, Metamucil is the brand, in water and poured it in there, you'll see it kind of gels up.
Mm-hmm.
That's that pulling in that moisture. It gels up and bulks up. That's how it helps form large stool. Food sources of so I will say this before I say the food sources, because the lists are going to be very similar on both soluble and insoluble, and that's because most sources of fiber contain both kinds. A little bit. I mean, one more than the other, soluble versus insoluble, but they contain a lot of the same. So soluble would be like oat, bran, barley, nuts, seeds, beans, lentils, peas, some fruits, and some vegetables. An insoluble fiber is a type of fiber that your digestive system doesn't really break down, and it provides it. So it's going to sort of put more matter into the stool. Like the two sort of combine to form. One brings in the liquid, one brings in the matter, like pieces, and if you eat too much soluble fiber, you can get diarrhea.
Right.
Because it can't bulk together, because it's not digestible. It's just particles, okay? Right. And the water is separate from the fiber. That's why it kind of all comes out grossly, but in pieces, you know, in liquid and pieces. Whereas if you have a lot of soluble fiber, it's a big sort of mass, okay? The two sort of work together. Sources of insoluble would be wheat bran, vegetables, and whole grains. And those were kind of listed, barley, in the previous category. So they sort of share. It's like a percentage of soluble versus insoluble in each source of fiber. So fiber is interesting to me because, as I said earlier, when I was having constipation, fiber did not help me. The more I would eat, the fuller I would feel. Because again, fiber does not digest very well. So the matter is staying in there and bacteria is growing on it. You know, that's one of the reasons they say it's beneficial is good bacteria, healthy gut bacteria can grow on certain fibers. Fine. But if you're backed up and stuff's just continuously growing and producing gas, you can feel like you're going to pop and it hurts after days and days and days and days of that. You're like, it's like even hurts to bend forward. You just don't have room.
Yeah.
So I've watched a few lectures about fiber in relation to constipation. A lot of gastroenterologists say stop eating fiber if you're backed up. So it's like it'd be like me if my toilet or my shower drain. You ever had your shower drain start to back up? Like the water stops draining?
Yeah.
That's just, this is gross, but it's like hair and just some of the lotion on your shampoo has formed a plug, basically. Fiber forms a mass. It's not just the magical liquid that shoots through you. It's a mass. And so if you just continue to pile fiber on top of that, if that's the problem, it'd be like me trying to unclog my drain with more hair.
Right.
So that's not how you unclog your drain.
Right.
You have to push it through. Now, our intestines aren't made of steel, so we probably shouldn't blast them through with some powerful force. That wouldn't be good. So you have to come up with ways to get that either to move, your intestines to move to get it out, or to change the consistency of the plug so it can move out.
Right.
There's different approaches. So if you were to take, so let's talk about these interventions. We're now to the stage, you're full, you're backed up. Again, I'm not a gastroenterologist. This is what I've done. This is what I've been told by a gastroenterologist. And there's some research, and what I'm going to talk about a fiber study in a second. But to me, if I'm desperate, the first, now having tried all the things, the thing I would try first is drinking a ton of water, 16 ounces, a lot, and taking magnesium citrate in a very high concentrated dose. I think it's on recall or right now, or it's out of stock. It's been a shortage for months now, if not a year. You used to could buy magnesium citrate at the pharmacy or at a grocery store. It's usually flavor. It's like a clear liquid. It's usually lemon or grape flavored. It tastes way too sweet. They sweeten it with artificial sweet. It's just horrifically sweet. If you love sweet and sour, you might like it, but I couldn't stand it. You can actually buy mag citrate in powder form, pure, nothing else added, and you can add it to water. That's what I like. But to each his own, right? But we're talking a massive dose of mag citrate. I think the bottle, because when you buy it in the liquid bottle form, you're supposed to chug the whole thing.
Mm.
So I think it's like 1 gram or 2 grams. I'd have to check into that. But it's a massive dose of mag citrate. So if I were desperate, I would take a massive dose of mag citrate with a ton of water. Drink water before, take the citrate, drink water after. What mag citrate does is it pulls water to your colon. So what that's going to do is it's going to put so much water in your colon that it's going to go into the stool, liquefy it, and then it'll pass.
Mm.
I've cleared constipation with great success with mag citrate. Now, it doesn't work instantly, and it's best done on an empty stomach, at least for me. It'll work faster on an empty stomach. It's not pleasant, though. You drink a ton of mag citrate, you're going to feel... One, you're going to feel very full from all the water you just drank, because it's not... Have you ever chugged water?
Yeah.
Especially in the morning. You ever chugged water on an empty stomach?
I have.
Woo!
Yeah.
So that kind of
happens. Don't feel great.
Don't feel great temporarily.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. You're going to feel some gurgling, and then you wait. And it could be... It could be 8 hours. So best to do on your day off when you can stay at home, because once it hits... You're going to need to be near a toilet. But it's usually pretty effective. The other things you can try, I tried, would be like, they're called Cinacides. It's an herb. There's a brand called Cinacot. I believe it's S-E-N-O-K-K-A-T, something like that. Cinacides are, it's an herb that causes the intestines to move. So the mag citrate approach is changing the consistency of the stool, of the blockage. This one is forcing your intestines to essentially cramp.
Mm.
They warn you it can cause cramping, and it will. That's how it's moving. So it's forcing your intestines to move, to stimulate. Now, that can be very painful if you have a huge amount of stool in there, because they're already struggling for space. So you're forcing them to sort of move with this plug. I prefer the mag citrate approach first. It's a little gentler because you're just essentially flushing with water. But that Cinacides that's one stimulant. The brand Dulcolax, they have a stool softener. You can take stool softener. Stool softeners are another approach. My issue with stool softeners is they're very slow to work. You have to build them up over days and days and days and days. That's more of a preventative, right? You take it every day. And it's sort of supposed to help keep things soft when you digest them. If I'm already to a state where I'm blacked up, that's not really my thing. I'd rather go for the strong stuff, mag citrate, clear it out with liquid. But I would say most of the time, in my opinion, and based on what I've seen in some of the lectures and research on when you're actually backed up with matter, adding more matter to that is not how you get it to move.
And that's
eating a bunch of black beans isn't going to move that plug. You're just adding stuff to the plug.
Right.
You've got to change the consistency to get it out.
Yeah, super interesting. And, one other thing that we've talked a little bit about is, being able to relax the muscle as well.
Yeah.
And there's like a combination of... Mm-hmm. of
the upside of the mag citrate treatment, even though it's very unpleasant at first, is you will, because it's such a high dose of magnesium, you will relax. At least I do. I feel kind of a warmth that happens through my body. Like, woo.
Yeah.
Really relaxed now. That's nice. The study I mentioned earlier. There was a study done in the UK. They'd follow... It was a time range study for a couple of years. 2006, 2011. In the mid-2000s, 10 years ago, give or take a few years, where they had a list of patients. This was a human trial. Woo! Who had idiopathic constipation, meaning unknown caused constipation. And they excluded anyone who had surgery or other causes for that. It was just solely people who they didn't really know why they were having constipation. So some of them, they asked to increase their fiber, and then some of them they asked to completely eliminate their fiber, and some in the middle sort of stayed in a sort of balanced fiber for the control measure. They followed them for months and years. The only people who had an improvement in symptoms to a significant amount were those that eliminated fiber, which was like, oh, the conclusion of the study, if you look it up, says, it implies the only alleviation of symptoms for idiopathic constipation was the decrease or elimination of dietary fiber until the symptoms subside. That isn't me saying never eat fiber again. That's just saying in this particular study, which had good, I will say my criticism of the study, it wasn't a massive number of people. However, to do a good quality nutrition study is virtually impossible with a large group of people. Because the more people you have, the more variables you have with their life, their lifestyle, what's going on with them.
Right.
It's very difficult. And they were particular about who they put in the study because they wanted them to be very similar, similar age, similar demographic, et cetera. So sort of a double-edged sword there. But the results were very significant. They expected the higher fiber diet to be the one that improved it, but it made it worse.
Mm.
It made it much worse. And the people who eliminated fiber... had a, if not complete elimination of symptoms, an improvement. Which, when you're looking at these studies, something you want to look for is, I think, statistical significance is what you want. Words like that, statistical significance is what you want to look at. Because otherwise, if it's like negligible differences, that's not really great. But this was statistically significant result. So that, to me, almost gold standard study, scientific study, showing, you know, fiber isn't the end all be all when it comes to constipation, at least in the case of idiopathic. So
it's definitely, especially in the, you know, in that study where they eliminated fiber,
and they kept people on. They had a comparison group, so it was, that's pretty significant.
It's different than what I think we've all been taught.
Yeah, we've all been taught. Get as much fiber as humanly possible so you don't get backed up.
Right.
Well, I did that. I can speak to that. So there's a study too, but then I have firsthand, for me, it's like, well, that did not work for me. That made it way worse. Like, I was in a lot of pain.
It makes sense why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
When you think about how fiber works.
Fiber has other... I think if we're going to look for benefits, and I've been doing research on fiber, but I keep getting conflicting reports about it, so it's hard. That's why I haven't committed to a full fiber podcast yet on the nutrition side, because I don't know what to fully say yet, because it's conflicting. But in regards to constipation, I'm very skeptical of fiber as a solution. Some fiber, like if you have diverticulitis, you have to stay away from some fiber because the bits, especially seeds, they can get trapped in those pockets. Diverticulitis is these little fissures that happen. And if a piece of fiber gets in that fissure, it gets infected.
Yeah.
And that can cause severe complications. So there's already some conditions where they're like, be careful what kind of fiber you're consuming because it can really agitate the condition.
Yeah.
But to me, if I'm going to look at fiber for health, based on what I know now, it would be in more of the realms of the blood sugar control and the metabolic health and maybe some cholesterol effects. But that's something I'm going to look into for the future. But in regards to regularity, I am very skeptical. I'm very skeptical of fiber.
But before we close out, when we think about constipation and regularity, are they the same thing? Because when I think of regularity, I think of, regular bowel movements, you know,
yeah.
Constipation, I feel like you're backed up. Are we talking the same
thing? I would say regularity is sort of just the overarching theme of your waste removal system. Regular meaning how often is this a regular thing? Meaning does it occur more than once?
Right.
I would hope so if you're evacuating food. I think people often, I watched a lecture from a doctor. He's an Australian doctor. Oh, his name, it escapes me now that I want to name him, I can't name him. if I think of it, we can put it in the bio. He gave made a great point with fiber and constipation that I thought resonated, especially since I've struggled with this issue. He's like, he's put people on low fiber diets before, mm-hmm. and they come back to him and they're like, something's wrong. I'm not going to the bathroom very often. He goes, oh, are you in pain? Are you backed up? Are you full? And no, I'm none of that. And he's like, so we're not just less poop? Is that your concern? Yeah, shouldn't I be going every day? He goes, why do you think you have to go massively every day? Why do you think that? They're like, well, it's just what I've always been told. And there it is. I've always been told I should eat tons of fiber so I can have big poop, right? Big poop is healthy.
That's poop the way
is,
I think.
Poop is waste. Our body doesn't want it. It's getting rid of it. So that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a massive amount. What I am more concerned with is not necessarily that I go every single day. It's, am I bloated? Am I full? Do I go at least, you know, it depends on your diet, of course. If you're eating a lot of vegetables and fruits, you should be going quite often because there's a lot of fiber in those and that's stuff your body can't absorb. And if you're not seeing bowel movements and you will start to feel pressure and bloating if you're eating tons of vegetables and fruits and not going to the bathroom.
Right.
But if you're eating other things that are lower in fiber but nutritious, you shouldn't expect to have
you would giant want them to stay longer
because you're absorbing most of it.
Right.
It's not waste. You're not wasting it. And so if you're eating a low-fiber diet, you can expect smaller bowel movements. But that doesn't automatically mean you're constipated.
Mm.
What you should look for, in my opinion, is symptoms associated with constipation that are unpleasant and painful.
Meaning bloating.
Bloating, gas, like really consistent gas. Cramps, but they don't yield anything.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Hmm.
I just think it's one of those things that everybody automatically assumes. I must eat tons of fiber. And my poop should be ginormous all the time. Otherwise, I'm not healthy in my intestines. And I disagree with that. And I think the research disagrees with that.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think, you know, I've been of the mindset of you need to go every day. It needs to be somewhat significant. And, you know, when I don't, you get a little, like, nervous.
When you go and you're like, man, that's not a lot. That's disappointing.
And you, like, think you're constipated.
That can very well be true. I'm not saying that. You know, a large bowel movement's not healthy. You feel great after one. But if you're, it should match up with what you're consuming.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm eating lots of broccoli and cauliflower and greens, yes, I should have substantial bowel movements. But if I'm eating more animal products or there's low fiber foods out there, some fruits are lower in fiber and some vegetables are lower in fiber, starches particularly, you know, they don't have a ton. The skin's got some fiber in there. If those are the things I'm eating, rice and things like that, brown rice has tons of fiber. I shouldn't expect to see giant bowel movements.
Right.
So that's just something to consider.
So a lot of it is, you know, the expectation. I'm sure, I know you're doing a little bit of a modified carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people watching are,
yeah.
You know, so it is something that, to know what to expect from this realm.
Yeah, as of now, since the last podcast, I'm still doing that.
Yeah.
That plan I talked about. And I will say, I'm careful with nevers and evers. Let's just say for safety, 98% of the time, I can't think of a time I've had any painful gas.
Yeah.
None. I have bowel movements.
Yeah.
But I'm not, because I exercise a lot. And that's when I notice constipation is when you're trying to when you have to pick up something heavy and contract your core,
yep.
or you have to twist your core and move a lot, if you're really backed up, it's difficult and it's uncomfortable. You feel like you feel like you're doing something wrong.
That's a good test.
Yeah,
you know, to see if you actually are.
Oh man, yeah, and you might feel like your pants don't fit quite as well. They're a little tight, things like that. I don't have any of that going on.
Yeah,
because I'm not on a massively high fiber diet. I do get fiber from berries and things like that. But
yeah.
Not in the high doses that maybe a typical plant-based diet would give you. So, yeah.
It's an important conversation, mm-hmm. and I'm glad we took it from the angle that we did. This is it's a different way of
Everybody
thinking about
poops.
Constipation. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, man.
Hopefully. Yeah. Thank you.
Is that a show?
That's a show.
Guys, that's a show. Dive Into Diet. We'll see you guys next time. This has been about constipation. Need to share this with somebody. Share it. This is new information, new perspective, which I really appreciate. Super cool. Thanks, guys.
Don't go away.
Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.